I'd like to call this special meeting of the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay, CSD, to order. I'm going to dispense with the Pledge of Allegiance, but we'll have roll call. Carol?
President Simon?
Here.
Vice President Steele?
Here.
Director Graves?
Here.
Director Pease?
Here.
Director Wiesen?
Here.
Thank you. Public comment. During public comment, the public may address the board on any issue within the board's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item at the time that item is called for discussion. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter, and any clarifying questions will go through the chair. Any public comment? I'll pass public comment. And we'll move to business and action items, discussion of town website and vendor presentation. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Thank you for hosting this meeting this evening, rescheduling from last week. I know there was something on TV that everybody wanted to watch. It was World 7, Game 7 of the World Series. In any event, as you know, we've been discussing the limitations of our website for quite some time, and we talked about it with the budget presentation back in June, and the board did allocate funding for an upgrade to the current website. I attended, as you may recall, a CSDA conference up in Tahoe back in June, and I was able to meet the gentleman sitting to my right, Carson Antonius, and Rocky Martin, from a company called Digital Deployment. And Digital Deployment has forged a relationship with CSDA. They came down and met with myself and staff, gave a presentation to us, probably a couple months ago. And was very excited about the opportunities and the possibilities. And so all I really wanted to do was to have them present to you what we can do with the website if we had one that was actually user-friendly. The site we have right now, if any of you have navigated it, you know its limitations and its difficulties. Carol, who's done a great job, is learning the site. All we can do is add content. We can't move anything around. We can't change anything. All we can do is add into the content. And it's very limited as to what we can do. The architecture is about 5 years old at this point in time. Any changes we make to the website with our current vendor that we've been using, we haven't made any changes for quite some time because it is extremely expensive, runs into the thousands of dollars for relatively minor change, which led to the discussion back in June with respect to the website upgrade. So with that, what I'd just like to do is have Carson and Rocky kind of step you through our website and some of the ideas that they might have for us moving forward if the board so chooses to go in that direction.
You want to have any question answer first on what we're looking for in a website, or do you know what we're looking for? Because I know what I want. We could talk about that with the board too on different features. So
yeah,
I build websites for my company. So
you bet.
Okay, it's only have a Q&A, but
there's definitely time for Q&A. All right. And there's
it's got to work.
It's
on my
built
phone.
In.
It's got to work on my phone and right. Simple.
Yeah. You know the and that's a good point, because when we brought this website to our current vendor to provide a mobile platform, the cost was in excess of $10,000 to do that, and that was absolutely not going to happen in my mind.
I mean, I can't pay my bills with the phone. I can't check. I can't reserve a court. I can't. You know, those are kind of things that would be important.
I think you'd be pleasantly pleased.
All right. Well, thank you for coming out.
Pleasantly pleased.
Surprise, please, also. And our goal is to, we'll start by telling you a little bit about Digital Deployment, kind of how we came here tonight, and then walk you through a little bit about our process, how we manage our projects, and then we'd like to end with a demo of the system, the software, and then anytime feel free to stop us if you have any questions, or we can hold them all until the end,
sure.
Whatever you feel is best for you guys. A little bit about us, Digital Deployment, we build websites for about 10 years now. How we found the special district segment about a year or so ago, we did a job for a regional sanitation district. And closely after that, we did another job for the Sacramento Area Sewer District. So those are kind of our first introductions to special districts. We soon after that were introduced to CSCA and started talking to them about their web presence for their members, for themselves as well. And you know, our platform, as you'll see, it's very powerful but very user-friendly. So it's perfect for the special district space. It allows you to kind of manipulate pretty much every aspect of the site itself. But at the same time, you don't have to necessarily be able to code HTML to change it. And so it fits very well there. The other thing is the transparency requirements, which CSDA has as well. Our system happens to just meet and succeed all of those requirements, so that's kind of a plus for the special districts. And so with that, we'll jump in unless you guys have any other questions. Kind of jump in a little bit about how we manage projects. Similar, this would be how we manage your project, how we manage all our projects.
I do have one quick question. So I get a sense of the size of your firm. How many employees do you have, or what's kind of behind the scenes that we don't see?
Sure. So there's 11 of us that are full-time employees for the company. That goes out to about 18 when you look at all the subcontractors that we have. We don't subcontract overseas or anything like that, but occasionally we have design resources that we need in town that we don't need to employ every day, but they have to come in and do special projects for it. But there are 11 full-time employees. So we're incorporated in the state of California. We have quite an impressive client list. So CalSTRS, the California State Teachers Retirement System, is our client, as well as a number of other, prominent Sacramento and Northern California organizations, as well as a number of associations, California Hospital Association and the Education Writers Association in Washington, D.C. And so we specialize in organizations that have to be responsible for their content. And that's the real key here. And so the California Hospital Association has all these people publishing content. None of them are web development people. They're responsible to the CEOs of hospitals to publish content that's relevant and important to them on a daily, weekly basis. And believe me, they're subject matter experts in things like Medicare and hospice care, but they're not web development experts. So that's our whole business philosophy right there, and kind of in a nutshell. So, did you want to, Rick, did you want to see anything else about the current site before we wait for that? And I think the conclusion that we came to after looking at the current site is that if you want to publish content on a regular basis by people who work for the organization, who are good enough to post something to Facebook or send an email, our system is ideal for that. And we've built everything since about 2007. We've been around since 2004. But since 2007, we've built everything that we have around that basic fundamental need that people have to manage their own content. So you want to walk through the process?
Yeah. So this is kind of just a quick preview of again, how we would manage a process, similar to yours, how your redesign would take place. Phase one is really just an orientation meeting. So we sit down with you, once we've gone into contract together, we talk about the steps that we'll take forward. We'll kind of walk through this with the whole team being there, set a timeline, talk to you a little bit about the teamwork, which is actually a project management software that we utilize. That's how the communication takes place between the organization and us as the project goes on. And again, project planning. Phase one is all about the planning, so the next steps, timelines. And speaking of timelines, usually from start to finish, usually talking somewhere between 8 to 12 weeks is the timeline for us to design a website. Phase two is probably the funnest part of the whole thing. That is the discovery and design. So we look at who you are as an organization, who comes to the site, who's going to be utilizing it, your whole UI, your user experience. And from that, we see who the individuals that are going to be coming to your site are, what they're going to be doing on their site, what they're going to be looking for, how relevant is your current content. Maybe there's some new content that's going to need to be provided because there's areas there that you'd like to improve that maybe don't exist because of the limitations of the old site. So we'll go through that phase. Like I said, it's great. You sit there, that's where we really learn a lot about you. And so what happens there is then that information is taken to the design as well. So we have an idea of who's going to come, what they're going to be doing, what functionality it's going to have. But then you want to be able to present the organization with the design. That's going to help that as well. It'll all help kind of portray your mission. Design sheet, right? It's the first thing people see. So we spend a lot of time there as well. We'll do site field trips, so we'll go out to sites that are relevant, maybe other special districts, things that you like, things that you don't like. We'll also go out and see other aspects of any other site out there, you know, whether it be user experience or you know, specific graphics, iconography, something that really stands out that you feel would do a good job portraying who you are or maybe the goal. And then from there, we'll present some comps to you, so our designers will take that information and the brief that we create, and we'll present some designs to you, and we'll choose a direction at that point. You know, there'll be some changes and whatnot, you know, but for that, after that phase, we kind of have an idea of what that overall design and information architecture is going to look like.
So design is really, you know, it's graphics, it's the look, it's the painting on the walls, and all the pictures that you put in the house and all of that, but it's also, you know, it's architectural design. So can people find your information, the information that they seek quickly and easily? Big step in the process. So once we have that.
Then we roll into phase three. And phase one and phase two, we're working very heavily with the organization. Obviously, we're relying on you for a lot of information. At phase three, we have an idea for the design, the information architecture is just about completed at that point. We probably already migrated all of the content from your current site, and now that the information architecture, which is the site, the, you know, the drop downs and whatnot, once that's completed, we're migrating that into our system now, and we're implementing your new design. So this is very heavy intensive on our end. We're doing a lot of work, and through teamwork, that project management software that I talked about earlier, you're able to see the steps that we're doing, even though we're not necessarily having meetings during this time. You're able to see everything that's being implemented in the back end. Phase four is is training. It's a full day of training, either held at our place remotely here. It's usually cut into two halves. The beginning is a training on our system, so kind of showing you how to manage the content, how to create new content, how to use the editor, which we'll show you here shortly. Then we usually take a break, we feed you, and then the second half of that training is it's actually you getting into your website now. So you get to start curating your own content. You take what you've learned that morning and you jump into your website, you know, play around with it. We can make changes and things like that. And then the other aspect is we're going to attach Google Analytics to your website as well. So once the site goes live, you know, between 4 and 5, you'll be able to sit there, play with your content. We call it curating the content. You know, in that initial discovery phase, if there's content that, you know, maybe doesn't exist or whatnot, that'd be the time when you get that up and going. And get the site to where you guys feel that you're ready to take it live. And then we would do that one of two ways. Usually we do a soft launch initially, so we don't necessarily tell anybody that there's a new website up, but we've redirected to our new website. And then after that, we'll do a hard launch. So maybe send out some information. We can do email blasts, things like that. We'll show you from the site as well. And then this is kind of just an overview of those steps. And like I said, roughly this is about an 8 to 12 week process. Okay. Any questions?
Sure. Questions?
So you have like graphic designers on your staff then that can create?
Yep.
Okay.
Really the whole package. So we're not an advertising agency. We don't really do social media buying. We don't consult much on Facebook. We don't run radio campaigns or any of that. We specialize in websites for organizations like this one that have to really, really have to own the relationship they have with the end user. And the content just continually has to be updated. We want you to be able to do that here, and the staff here, and subject matter experts that can be trained. There's a number of ways that can happen too. So you might want to have content that comes in but needs to be approved by somebody else. And so we have workflow in there as well.
How many sites do you host?
Well, I think it's just past 150. So we have 150 under management now. I think it's 156 or something.
And kind of where's the servers and all that kind of, who's doing all that magic stuff behind
it? It's a good question. So we have three or four different places where the websites are hosted. So places like Waltham, Massachusetts. There's a number of top tier centers that we use. So there's co-location. I don't know if you've heard that term before, but like if one server goes down, another one can pick it up. In Los Angeles, we use Amazon.
Rackspace.
These are companies that we're mentioning. But Amazon, believe it or not, provides a very, very profoundly robust hosting solution. So it's very reliable.
Are we sharing servers?
You would probably share with our other clients, yeah. But we don't share, we don't have anyone else other than our...
Your clients on the server?
Our clients on the server. And the beauty of that is that we have an ongoing relationship with our clients, and so the websites are continuously upgraded. It's one of the most important things about hiring digital deployment is that software is continuously upgraded every single month, sometimes quarterly if they're really important things. You just don't want to fall behind. Like right now, you're a little behind, 5 years.
Yeah, is video content,
so
is that used nowadays?
Absolutely, yeah. So what we recommend is that you upload to the great video providers like Vimeo or YouTube, and then it plays effortlessly through the website.
So we have like a quick pan of a project or a walkthrough of a new park that you could just put that minute video on there or something?
The staff would upload it to... I don't know if this site has video on it, but I can show you a couple of examples of how
you grab a URL from YouTube.
Right. Yeah.
Any other questions?
How you mentioned that we'll take the assumption that possibly we can move forward with you or someone, but anyway, you mentioned one day of training. Is that adequate?
Usually it is because it's fairly simple, but, well, I'd say about half the time. People, it's included in the monthly agreement that you can have as much training as your team needs. So, the site goes up, it's great, everybody kind of knows pretty much how to use it. Then you want to get a little more advanced, a little more complicated, a little more, relating content and all of that. We typically recommend someone drive in for another 2 or 3 hour session.
They would come to your it's in Sacramento?
Yes. Our customer support team is really just an outstanding group. This is one person who runs that whole team, and she's just amazing. Her average response time is 2 hours. Resolution time is 2 days.
You guys work together through the computer in different locations?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we do that as well.
Nice.
Yeah. So we have Fuse meeting or GoTo meeting or any of those easy ways. Of, we could be here tonight remotely, but it's a lot better to see everybody.
Sure. Is this included in our monthly support, or is this an add-on?
No, and I just want to clarify something, Mark, that we never want to send you a bill for anything other than for the building of the website and the monthly fee. It's just our commitment, and I encourage you to call some of our clients. We just don't like to send bills out. So that's why we have the monthly program. That's why the site's continually improved for everyone. So now, CalSTRS has $150 billion under management. They're no more important than you are, but their requirements are significantly larger, but you're on the same platform as they go, the same tools, everything is exactly the same in terms of what their capabilities are and yours. They just have 25 people adding content and a lot of help, so their monthly fees are a lot higher. But you're on the same platform with them, as well as other, special districts and small nonprofits, so, and associations. Great questions.
Questions?
I think you see shortly the training aspect of it. Our goal, as we've built this, is to make it just about as easy as possible. And through the editor, which you'll see here shortly, the basics of adding content a day is actually plenty, to be honest with you. By the time, there's some advanced features that you may or may not utilize. Like I said, CalSTRS uses the same platform, so there's stuff in the system itself that maybe won't be relevant to you ever, but it does exist there. So things like that you may or may not utilize.
Before they move forward, just a real quick, Regional SAN, you're familiar with them because Gregory Harris, when he was talking to us regarding our denitrification project, and if you recall, they're on the hook for $1 billion project. That's Regional SAN, just to give you a little bit of idea of who it is that we're dealing with, so we have a little bit of an idea there.
They're one of your clients, though.
Yeah. This is our website, yeah. And, you look at it, and how do you make sanitation beautiful? This is a beautiful website.
You clean it up.
That's right.
It's a very beautiful website. If it didn't happen, by accident, or we didn't just go in a little room and come out with it, it's a very collaborative process to get to this place. A couple things, if I just kind of that you'll notice here is there's this area right here, right above the start button on your PC, and it's called the commands menu. So your administrators can come in and add content right here by, you know, creating a post. They can also change the navigation around if they want to, you know, the top line navigation terms and all the subterms. It's completely in your control. Something else you'll notice here is there's this little support button when you're logged in. So we were talking about support a couple of minutes ago. Do you want your organization to have regular support? Just for regular, you know, how come this image is upside down? What did I do wrong? They can send a ticket through, or they can call us.
Correct.
Better to send a ticket because it'll be tracked, it'll go to the right people.
Yeah.
You were going to add something.
Well, I was going to say, the beauty with the support system, and we don't have to go too far in depth, but again, because all of our sites are hosted on a specific platform, that if Carson starts to type in here, you know, how to add an image, for example, say you forgot how to do that, we've actually created a knowledge base as well. So if you see now, as he's typing how to, the knowledge base is popping up on the right, so it's actually populating the answers for you. So pretty much everything that the system can do, in fact, everything that the system can do, is in the knowledge base as well. And that doesn't mean that we don't want you calling us or contacting us, but if you were doing something on a Saturday, for example, and you know you wanted to play with the system, it is all there with tutorials and everything for you to follow through.
I mean, we do have clients who, you know, send through a ticket. I forgot how to add an image. Forgot how to add a video. That's fine. But, you know, a lot of them just look it up. So either way.
So you have a dedicated support person. That's great.
Yes.
In fact, she's the one who wrote all the knowledge base. And that's what happens ongoing because, as Carson mentioned, we roll out new features every month, you know, depending on what those are. If we get enough call volume about a specific topic, we'll just create a knowledge base article for it. Because obviously, if you're having issues with it, there's probably other people that have the same questions.
Yeah, Haley runs a very, very good team. Very, very dedicated. So there's a couple of other things to look at on this website. There's a big footer here, which allows you to sort of manage content that way. There's something here called quick links. Again, I don't know if this is right for you because we haven't done the discovery process with you, but a lot of people like this quick links idea, and you have complete control over that. If you decide one day that, you know, business opportunities is not something that you want to have up anymore, you just go in and change it. It's really that simple. So here I've got some content about Discovery Bay that I added a little while ago, and I think I'll just go into it now and show you how the editor works. So everywhere that an item of content appears, you can log in and edit that. And it could appear in the home page, in the big carousel, the big images. It could appear in several different sections because maybe it has something to do with two or three different subjects. So wherever it appears, it can be edited. And you simply click on the little flyout menu, and then there's a bunch of different choices. But I'm just going to go to edit this post. And right now it's opening up the editor. Now this editor might look kind of familiar. It looks a little bit like sending a webmail. So if anybody here has ever sent a Gmail or back when Hotmail was popular or any of those kinds of things, you know, here's your headline, here's your content, there's a few things you can do to make bold and italics and buttons and things like that. So you'll notice that this item is clicked featured, so it's on featured in the home page. Also it's under About Us and under Press Room. Let's go ahead and look down here. There's an image that was uploaded. It's got a file attachment, special district, community connections. So that's a PDF that I brought over from the current site. And it's really as simple as clicking on Add Files and going and finding it and uploading it just like you would if you were sending an email. And at the end, when you have everything up that you want, you have the image, the PDF, the text, all of that's there. You click Published, or you can wait, and it can be unpublished for a while.
Do you guys integrate with like a document control system?
Well, could you...
I only have a Xerox system against a fancy copier system we were talking about rolling out, and having all your documents in there, and have
LaserFish.
Yeah, so LaserFish.
So our system actually has the potential to have, you know, what you probably call an intranet, which a lot of our clients utilize as well as a document repository,
yeah,
or maybe board packets, for example, if you want to upload those. And all that is roles and permissions.
Yeah.
So you guys would have a login. If I was coming to the Discovery Bay website, I wouldn't be able to see that, but you put your permissions in, and then you populate with your board documents or whatever that depository.
You can click a button on the email or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of like what we do right now, but.
So Rick's asking a very good question. He goes, is an intranet extra money? Does it cost something more? Basically, what we do is when you add that content, you simply check the boxes here of who should be able to see it. So let's just say there's a board packet that you want to post to the website, but it's not open to the public yet. You're posting it to the website. Again, I apologize if this is not the way you do business, but many of our clients have this practice of posting board packets. The board can log in and see it, but no one else can. So there's a number of different ways of adding what we call member only or restricted view content. So you could do that. You could have a whole section of the website that's navigable only by.
You might have a committee or something, and
exactly.
A public committee of some sort, and they
right.
might have a special place they can keep all their documents or projects.
Right.
Okay.
It's there, but it's not a separate place. It's not a separate website. It's all built
all
in.
All built in.
But it simply says, you know, Bill logs in, and we know Bill. He has the credentials to see everything. Rocky logs in, he has the credentials to only see what's public content. Does that make sense?
That's nice.
Okay.
What was your answer to Rick's question?
There is no extra cost because it's part of it's all.
Okay.
Yes.
I didn't hear your answer. Sorry.
Generally speaking, an intranet, if you're going to roll out an intranet, it's going to be a whole other program. It's going to be another internet, but just for your internal group. We've been kind of kicking the idea around because it'd be nice to have one, and so that's the first I've heard about this, so that's really good news.
Would not need to add anything else. In fact, if there were, you know, internal only, say that you had a navigation term here at the top across here for businesses, for residents, and you called it internal only, you could actually make that invisible to anyone who doesn't have the credentials that you don't want to have. So you have the ability to manage all of those users here with varying, I'm just gonna stay on this page, with varying levels of access. And I don't know what those would be sitting here today, but certainly at the end of discovery, we would know it. And certainly by the end of the third or fourth or fifth month of working with you on a regular basis, we would know those things by working with your staff and the right staff.
I think that is a touchy subject because you guys, we are public documents.
Correct.
Right.
And everything that we do, if it's not in closed session, is public.
Correct.
Right.
That's right.
So putting something on the website that the public can't see, would you have an issue there?
Well, you would put, you can populate your website with as much information that you want to. Now, I don't know, you're going to be getting at the next board, you're going to be getting the next board meeting a discussion item relative to our new document record system that we've talked about in the past. That's coming to you next in 2 weeks. We only populate right now the data that is current. We don't go back and populate the stuff that's back from the very beginning that will now be available to be able to populate if you want to add it at that point in time. A lot of it falls off. You know, there's a retention schedule, and after a while they get destroyed if certain documents, you know, keep them for a year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, certain ones you have to keep forever. And so based upon that schedule is what would end up being on the retention schedule, and it would be available, and it would certainly be available on the intranet, and whether or not it's available on the intranet or not would be something that I think between legal counsel and a policy of this board would make that determination.
I was thinking if they had a project team or something internally, then maybe it would be a place where that project team would be able to look at it.
Oh, I agree with you. Oh. This one open. We
yeah,
wouldn't violate the Brown Act.
Yeah, we just want you to know the capabilities are there, how you handle it. So just to finish this up, if I want to publish this now, I can do so, or I can have it published on a certain time and day in the coming whenever, so I can actually click on here, and there's a little calendar involved, and I can have it published at that time. I can also have it automatically archived, which if you've ever been to a website, and there's a lot of stuff on there that seems really old, that won't happen here if you simply tell the site that you want to archive this post on a certain date and time in the future. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead. Yes?
Just because I got gray hair, I'm not the techiest guy in the world. If I understood you properly, we post something on the website, And if you put that date on there to archive, it means it's taking it, automatically taking it off the website and putting it in February or whatever it goes. You can find it later, but
exactly.
It comes off the website.
It's all still searchable.
It's all still searchable. So if you had the web address, the link,
yeah.
That's right. If you had the link in an email or something from 6 months ago and suddenly it was archived, you could simply go
still
to
find it.
It's visible and available, but it's just not in the navigation anymore.
And I'm assuming the reverse is true. If staff put together something that they wanted to put on there, then they put a future date out there, then at that date it automatically appears.
Absolutely.
It would automatically appear, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, for publishing it's nice. You know, if you're working on something that maybe is coming up next month, you can have it prepared,
right.
And then it'll just launch upon the date that you choose. And if you archive it. The other thing you can do that with is with the calendar events as well, because the calendar is actually integrated into this as well. It's another feature in the editor you can see. So, you know, if you have an event coming up, you can have it scheduled, and then after that event's done, it'll automatically delete itself from the calendar. Things like that.
We print and distribute activity guides and newsletters.
Yeah,
right now we're posting those to issue. They're interactive and hyperlinked to registration pages in the background, but we haven't been able, right now, like on our website, we just have like a picture that's hyperlinked to issue, but we haven't been able to use that document interactively with the hyperlinks on our own website. If we'd be able to do that?
We'll see why not.
And the other thing is the social media, you guys can touch on that.
Yeah, we can do that.
What was that, what's that software we're using for the community center right now?
Easy Facility.
I was wondering if that links up somehow on the website.
They have some mobile, Easy Facility has some mobile apps that you can use with it. We would just have to start using it differently, and we just haven't had the capability with the current website to start that.
We have a reservation system, and we have a fee and reservation system that we're managing. It would be nice if it's not an integrated.
Yeah, we come across that a lot, so we just simply link to
it. Yeah, link to it. Okay. Yeah, I think the web page is for, right?
Mm-hmm.
You put a post up and you talk about what it's going to be, and then people will click on it and go to the resource.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not doing that now, but yeah.
Yeah,
with our activity guides, we, you know, that's important, I think, and you know, when people leave our website to go look at this publication on another website, it doesn't seem as user friendly, you know, to just. It'd be nicer if we could just have it on ours, full page, turn through the pages, you can click on it from there. When it comes up on an issue, it's usually smaller, they put little notes on the side, there's other things going on the page, so it's not just dedicated to our publication, so.
Okay.
If you have your mobile device with you, if you were to go to regionalsan.com, for example,
mm-hmm.
on your browser, it'll bring up the mobile version of that.
Oh, yeah.
And if
mm-hmm.
you've been to our website on your mobile device,
okay.
it brings you to our website, not a mobile platform.
And here's another example of this is the CalSTRS page, and it's exactly like yours would be. This is where CalSTRS would manage their mobile application. And nobody needs to go buy an app or anything like that. When they come to the Discovery Bay website from a mobile device, it'll automatically look like this. And you have a lot of control over what those pages are, but when you get into it, then it's readable, you know, like the device should be, and not like a tiny little website that you're trying to figure out. So this is designed specifically for a mobile application.
The beauty is that the links are all the actual links to your site. So if you bookmark something from the mobile app, and say you sent it to Bill in his email, and he clicks on it, it's going to take him to the exact same page on your website. A lot of mobiles, there's in the code, say the HTML code, they distinguish themselves differently, so you kind of get broken links and things like that, so it's kind of a big deal.
Just out of respect for your time, it's 6:30.
I'd like for you to explain the upload to social media and how that interaction works.
So social media works basically two ways, right? So first way is I create an item of content for the website. And I guess I'll do this over here. Okay. So let's go to environmental protection. Let's go to pollution prevention and outreach. And I am an administrator right now. and I realized that this be responsible, don't flush your meds is a very important item, and I want it out on our social media as well as on the website. So your website's the authority, right? Your website's the hub of your activity. Everything else, social media, email, and all of that is an outreach, in our opinion, and I think that's in practice. So if you've got good content on your website, why shouldn't it be easy to simply share it out to social media? So by clicking again on the little flyout menu that each and every post has, I've got an item down here that says tweet this post or share on Facebook. So I'm going to click on that, and I doubt that this computer is logged into Facebook. It's not. But if I did, it would take the entire post, post it right out to your Facebook page. Now that's an administrator working here who has control or authority on the Facebook page or the Twitter. The other way that social media works is if you are just an average person and you want to share something, I'm going to go to the GSM.
How about if we're a little below average?
We don't let you share.
Is it worth two?
I knew eventually you were going to catch up with me. Kevin, that's silly of that.
I was giving you a pretty good, I was giving you a break for a while, Carson.
I know, I don't really deserve it, I don't think, now after that. So, I'm trying to find something. Let's see here whether they are using the share buttons on this site.
Well, while you're doing that, I was laughing when you said that because
there it is.
I work for the California Department of Veterans Affairs. We developed our app and then developed the website.
Backwards.
Okay. Yeah, it didn't work. Now the app's useless. Yeah. Now, you know, this is the state of California.
You know, Kevin, we heard this from our clients a lot, and it's horrifying, and, you know, kind of reflects on us, right? So eventually we said, let's just build it in at no extra cost. So we built it into the platform, the basic platform, so it's easy to manage. Yeah. Okay, so here's the other way that social media works, right? So if I go to James Kelly, and the Director of Corporate Relations at Impact, and I'm a user, and I want to share this on my Facebook page. Hey, everybody, check out James. I can do that by clicking on these share pages. Now I've got to log in and do it, but I don't know.
But that would be there's the two ways. The individuals.
Right.
The user's
anybody
website.
Anybody do that from home?
Anybody do that from home. You right. would have no control over that. Right. They're just sharing your content. That's wonderful.
Once you put the icons on there, you're giving people permission to do that.
That gets
right.
the word out.
Yeah. The word out. It's a great thing. They're sharing your content. The other way is if you're an administrator and you create content and you think it's important enough to put it out on your Facebook page. There's an event, there's an announcement, there's something exciting, somebody's won a prize. You put that on your Facebook, you put that on your website first. That's the authority, and it's shared out on your, and then there's links back and forth. And the beauty of that is that it carries it over. The headline, the image, the teaser content, and all of that is carried over with integrity to your Facebook page. So.
I have another question, sorry. Okay, so one of the limitations that we have on our website is, see this right side you have, I'm gonna call it the sidebar, because on ours that's always what it is. We don't have the ability to change that. So every single page in our website has the same things on the right, unless they did it when they created it. Everything we've added. So my question is, when you add a page, let's say that James Kelly is a new employee, you want a bio for him, you want to go add it, how do you decide what goes in the middle? Because you showed how to upload stuff, but how do you decide what that page looks like when you're adding it?
It's called post type. Carson can bring it up. So what we do is we work with you on the system has a ton of different post types built into it already. But for example, profile post type, it'll have things certainly displayed in certain areas. And if you ready, jump in, son. Okay. Yes. And so with those post types, it sets the framework is what it's called, what that page is going to look like. An announcement would be the same. You know, say for example, you're going to create an announcement, and if you want your announcements to have,
they're templates, basically. So it's a template, you modify the template.
Exactly.
But every type of template has a different.
Correct.
And now, is that unlimited? We create our own templates, or they're defined for us on like where we.
No. Yeah, you can. We would actually do it for you, but if you had, I mean, there's a ton of different templates in there. Different frameworks, but if you needed one that wasn't there, you just
okay.
That's part of the SLS.
So there's really two answers to your question, and Rafi's going to address the first one. The other one is if you look at this this James Kelly piece, right,
mm-hmm.
and look at what is in the sidebar here, it's a picture of James Kelly, and it's his contact information and his email address and his phone number. That is there because he has a profile in the system. So if I go to edit this post, and I'm going to go into the editor now, where James Kelly's stuff is here, right? So then I come down here, and under related people and profiles, he's got a profile. So if I come and look for him, there he is, staff profile, James Kelly. So what it does is it automatically populates all that information neatly and designed specifically for James because he's related to that piece of content.
And we have access to add profiles.
This is all you doing this. This is all you having done all of this.
Right now, we can't do it.
So just double checking.
Yeah, it's a great question. So let me take another look at this page real quickly here. And notice James Kelly. So let's click on James. That's his picture. Key information. Give you a map of where he is. So it's just it's a very easy way to associate content with other. With subject matter experts.
So you talk about the mapping and the locations by putting in an address, and is there a link for an address to, like, say, a mapping device like a Google Maps or something like that? So when you put it in and you give it a parameter, you know, like 1601 Discovery Boulevard, and or you put in the community center, well, you click on it, well, I'm going to show you a map. Sure. Take you there under that type of a setting?
Well, it could take you to Google Maps and take you to that specific page, yeah. So that ability is there. I actually think this is a better example here. This is about Discovery Bay. So I loaded some content in, and you'll notice that Claudia and Susan are here. So I'm going to go ahead and click on Claudia. I hope she doesn't mind. And there she is, and you'll notice that this post is in a stack right under everything else that she's done. So it not only takes you to her as the authority, but all the other things that she's ever posted. Does that make sense? Kind of.
So that was defined by things that she actually put onto the website.
Right.
It's not defined by like tags that you tag her name in or something. Or like.
You could do that.
Okay.
Either
so
way.
You have the ability to tag as well still.
So what other questions do people have? I'd
say bundle and blast, maybe show. We'll probably do blast, unless you have any additional questions.
Bundle and blast.
Shows how you can do email. So you can take the same content that you're creating and actually create newsletters that you can blast out via email.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping you could do that. And then I was wondering, is there any automation in this? Like, can you set up automatic responses if somebody clicks on something? Or can, instant messaging? Or can you guys integrate that? Or?
Well, for instance, if somebody sends an email through the website.
A comment or a question.
Right. You can have comments. You can have surveys, polls. I mean, we could spend another hour. I don't want to.
No, but I mean, if somebody wanted to say, oh my gosh, there's a water leak, and they click the water leak button, we could have that button trigger staff alert of some sort or two-way communication.
Yeah.
Okay.
As an example, Director Steele, we already have that. And if someone, if for example, you were to go online tonight and there would be you report a water leak, three people would get it immediately. I would get it, Virgil would get it, and it would go to the front desk. And depending on the severity of it, we can roll out at night depending on the time we see it or not. So if that does happen, we get those records.
And so we can provide a link to that system.
Right.
That's not part of the.
Okay.
I just want to be clear about that. So if I look at this post and I say this is important enough to email blast out to your email list, I'm going to click on blast via email, and I'm just going to go ahead and click on this preview, and it'll show me that post. This is exactly how it would look as an email blast. And I'll test it real quick to myself. So that's we'll look at that in a second as soon as it comes into my Gmail. That's bundle and blast. So you're able to take content from the website, stack it up, send it out to your email lists as a newsletter. So why do things twice?
Fidelity press releases would be easy.
Yeah. So easy. I mean, incredibly easy.
And
right?
You would stack them, and then there's a nice history filed somewhere. People would look at those later
exactly
when they
right.
get to it.
That's
well,
exactly
the beauty
right.
is like, you know, you can use posts that you created in the past that maybe weren't, you know, that have become relevant again. And we're working with the Mosquito Vector District right now, and obviously West Nile is big, right? Well, if they had created those posts in the past, they can just repurpose that information without having to recreate it and create, you know, pertinent newsletters now. So for workflows and things like that, it's great.
I'm sorry.
No, stop apologizing.
With the email blast, are those emails just going to people who have signed up through your website? Are
correct.
These, so not things that we, can we upload
you
emails?
You can upload as well.
Okay, and then does that also have the capability to unsubscribe without us having to do anything?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we use MailChimp.
Okay.
Anybody familiar with MailChimp? Great name, isn't it? MailChimp. But it's like Constant Contact or any of those where it has a lot of capabilities. And as soon as somebody opts out, they're gone
okay.
from the system. Don't want to get into that kind of.
And it doesn't have the option to say like I'm sorry, I'm not real familiar with that, but like if we have various things like I want to get emails on water and wastewater updates or just recreation or
right.
okay.
You can segment out different lists
mm-hmm.
so you can respond to, you know, you can have like all residents lists, you could have you know, students, for example, this is for the rec center
mm-hmm.
or specific, you know, you can segment, you can have as many lists as you want.
Okay.
How's
so, yeah.
security? I mean, how do you prevent somebody from hacking our website? And do you use SSL? And because it's an encrypted website, I hope it is.
You know, I'd be glad to forward Chris. Like any, I have 6 or 7 pages of.
Is that part of the plan?
Absolutely.
Hosting?
Yeah, right. I mean, our clients are extremely demanding.
Yeah,
respect
we them. Hate to have somebody like rip it up.
Yeah,
no, it's just really not. There's not an acceptable way to short shrift on that. So now I've opened up my email. And you'll notice that there's this lovely formatted email that's come into my email box about Discovery Bay. And if you scroll down, it says what's new, so you can say anything you want there, what's in the newsletter, that type of thing. Click on it. I'm going to go to the Echo Water Project, and that looks really interesting to me. So if I click on it, guess what? It takes me to that.
That's the $1 billion project.
Yeah.
They call it Echo Water. No, that's Sacramento.
But I've just basically created a newsletter, and I created this, I think, when I first built it in like 5 minutes. Science and Symptoms of West Nile.
And it's a great way to drive traffic because those are all just live links to your website. So once people click on them, they're coming to your site now.
Oh, you just brought another great. Does it track who comes and
yeah,
what your activity
Google is? Yeah, Google Analytics is provided as well.
Okay.
And that's part of the process. You know, through the discovery phase, we'll work with you to define who you are. Again, you know, what the navigation is going to look like depending on what people are going to look for. But, you know, what we do as well as part of the service or part of the service level agreement is we do at least annual site reviews with you as well. So we'll sit down and we'll review all of your content. We'll see what's the most, you know, what's the most active content. You know, there's geolocators. We can see where people are at when they're looking at your content. And then we can make some decisions, you know, okay, well, it looks like, you know, maybe the rec center is getting really popular, but it's not a top-line navigation. Let's change that. Now it's very easy for those people to find those things. You know, so, I mean, your site reflects on us as well. You know, I'll give you an idea. Alameda County Retirement Association, ACERA, we just did a site review, their annual site review. And when we originally created the website, I think it was board meeting minutes. They only had what was up there for that year. Well, in the time between when it launched and the year down the road, they had uploaded all their other minutes. So now they had this very large list of all this document. And so what we did is we actually went in there and created tabs by year. So then we broke everything down and said 2011, 2012, 2013. And if somebody then wanted to go in there and scroll through those to find something, they could, but then it didn't just look horrible on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just a kind of another benefit to working with us. You know, we kind of care about you. We care about your site as much as you guys do.
We record all of our regular meetings, and so those recordings, will you host those recordings?
Again, those are uploaded probably to a third-party solution.
Oh, no, we could, is there a storage part of the package? Or?
Unlimited.
Okay, and the bandwidth's there for
unlimited.
5 people to listen at once?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
I mean, we host George Takei's blog, you know, Mr. Sulu from
Star Trek.
Star Trek. So he's a very, very prominent guy out there now, and he's on Broadway and all of that. He has 7 million
Facebook followers.
I mean,
he can get 200 million views a day.
So we have no bandwidth issues at Digital Deployment.
As we start to break this down, my goal this evening was to bring you some option, an option that's out there. Digital Deployment, Carson and Rocky are working with CSDA, and we've developed a little bit of a relationship with them where they would like to use us as a, I don't want to use the word guinea pig, but as a marketing tool, if you will, for a
pilot program
that they were working with CSDA. So if this is something that the district, that the board would like to pursue, I would be more than happy to bring it back, and we can get into the specifics and the details of what the contract and the dollars might look like going down the road, and get them to come back down and present that. But this evening was just more of just an introduction. What they are showing us tonight, we can't even begin to touch with our website as it is right now.
Let's do this. Is there any questions from the board? Any comments from the board?
No. That was part of my next question as well. Sounds all great. How much? So, if I think from my standpoint, I'd like to take it to the next step, hear a little bit more about it, dollars and cents, before we can actually make any kind of decision.
Kevin, how about you?
No, I agree. And I think we should see, we have some monies budgeted already. I think we should see how the proposal fits into the monies we already have budgeted. I will say that I had the opportunity to work with these gentlemen, and both Marianne and I did down at the conference. And I spent actually quite a bit of time with Carson in the guts of that thing, like he was showing you. And it's so simple that I could have been doing it. Absolutely. It's that simple to put content on there. And that just makes it easier. You know, I mean, it doesn't have to be that simple, but it is that simple. Just in its design, and the logic and how it builds up, it's just all right there, like as if you're going into your email. It's just that simple. You just open up another thing, and there's another thing, and it's all right there. It's pretty cool.
I'd just like to, if this looks like a proposal I'm bringing, I'd like just to hear how you envision staff to enter, how they would maintain this and keep it current. And I hate going to stale stuff after a couple of months. It's like, that's 2012 information, guys.
Because there seems to generate a lot of questions, which is normal, in this particular venue, maybe isn't it's easy to do that. Maybe we could do a study session or something, where I don't know if that's needed or not at the next level. In order to have enough time to fully to discuss these things and take it further.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to be a part of it. If we're going to go for it, some more, we'd all like to have input on what it looks like.
Saying designing the website at all. But I'm just talking about.
I do know that they're being very generous in including us in the pilot project, and that was based upon relationships, I think, and had some mutual interest, and they came down and met with us and knew what our limitations were, and they see Discovery Bay with CSDA as being a leader within that organization. Some of the achievements we've gotten recently, and so they want to be able to use us obviously in their marketing materials, but I would like to move this forward sooner, mm-hmm. because their calendar might close us out and might limit some opportunities that we have with them. So what I would like to do is bring it back to the board at the next meeting, if possible. It can be a discussion item, and it can be an action item, that you will get more detail at that point in time, cost, you know, annual cost, what our budget is right now. I'll be honest, it's a little bit more than our current budget is. But our current budget was only to do some minor revisions, but it's not that much more. So,
from my standpoint, I would like to bring it back sooner or later, put it on as an action item. If we can't get all of the answers and all the things, then we
bring it back
in. But it's prepared to go forward if it's.
Staff, I would suggest that when you bring these costs on, to make sure that they're broken out, and then also talk about some of the things that we wanted to do but couldn't do, and the cost that would be about, in other words, what would it cost to convert to a mobile site, which is already would be included in the price with these guys, so we have a real value to cost evaluation of what we're getting. Does that make you guys know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Marion, did you have any comments?
No. Maybe. Thank you.
I feel the same way Kevin does. I would want to see this as an all-inclusive. We were here for the last website?
Yeah, barely. I had nothing to do with it. I came in 3 months later.
We were here. We knew nothing about websites, and we sat down and we listened to 3 presentations. And they put the hook in the second presentation. Yes. They reeled in the third one, and we laid down for it. And I don't want to see that happen again. Everything in the other one was everything's included until we had it put in, and then nothing was included.
Yeah.
So to me, this is before I'll vote on it. Everything will be in writing. Everything will be included, and there'll be nothing.
Fortunately, Mark's got the worst taste in his mouth about that because he was actually part of that board that made that decision. I came in just after that, but I came in under the frustration right afterwards when we tried to change something. They said, "Oh, well, that's going to cost you X amount of dollars if you want to change something." Well, wait a minute, it's been 3 months.
It's excruciating for both parties.
It was terrible. I agree with the rest of the board at this point as far as is there any public comment at all? Anything? At this point, you need just.
That's good enough.
Just good enough to, yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for your
Thanks
presentation.
For your time,
very much
Thank
appreciate
you
it.
All for
Pleasure
your
meeting
time. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Okay, at this point, we are done until 7 o'clock, about 10 after 7, I think. We're adjourned. Thank you.
Okay.
I don't think that one anymore.